Good afternoon. Welcome to our session. This is the Innovation Theater, in case somebody wandered into the wrong room. And we're going to be doing a talk called 2024 Householder Trends. In this session, the view is to how the home is evolving in response to what goes on in the world today. This Consumer Insight Trend Talk by Kate Usher of Trend Bible will provide a view of householder trends for the year 2024 as climate change, global inflation, mass supply chain disruption have all impacted the everyday lives and bank balances of consumers. A refining of the home and how we operate within its context has changed from the new hybridized lifestyles to the rise of rental and more, and move to more circular design. The talk will highlight what's driving change in the home and interiors industries to foster a deeper understanding of the key shifts impacting the way consumers think, act, and feel. Kate Usher brings to her work a passion for groundbreaking design, as well as an interest in social enterprise and how well-executed ideas can help to drive change. Kate has 13 years of experience in design, brand management, and creative direction. She's senior trend consultant at Trend Bible, advising brands and retailers across the globe on future insights and design trends. So please welcome Kate Usher.
Thank you, Mike, for that lovely introduction. Hello, everyone, and a very big welcome to today's presentation. It's really lovely to see so many faces, and I'm really excited to tell you all about householder trends for 2024. We've got this presentation is packed full of insight, the sort of stuff we'd usually charge a lot of money for, so we're very lucky to get a sneak preview today of the sort of thing that we do at Trend Bible. So as Mike said, my name is Kate, and I'm one of the senior trend consultants at Futures Agency Trend Bible. And in my role, I work directly with some of the world's leading brands and retailers across multiple different industries, including baby and kids, lifestyle, and home and interiors. And I help those companies to solve very specific problems which are unique to their business, using trends and foresight to help them see that future change is possible, manageable, and desirable. So I myself have a background in surface design and also brand management, so I'm a big fan of pattern, color, and textiles as well. So on to today's presentation. I'm going to start by giving you a brief introduction to Trend Bible, outlining a little bit about what we do and our methodologies. Then I'm going to give you a sneak preview into some of our subscription content on future householder trends. And this will be the macro trends section where we'll dive into some consumer mindsets and householder behaviors for 2024. And then I'm going to give you a preview of one of our autumn winter 23-24 home and interior design trends. This is the fun bit, the visual, colorful stuff for the creatives of you. So this is where we'll sort of detail how those macro trends then translate into design, color, material, and pattern. And I'll be sticking around at the end of the presentation as well if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask. So who are Trend Bible and what do we do? We're a global future trends agency headquartered in the UK, but with a global network and reach right throughout Europe, and we also have a presence across the US through to Asia and beyond. The world's best brands and companies work with us to better understand future trends for their audience, to make more informed commercial decisions. And what makes Trend Bible unique as a trend forecasting agency is that our specialism has always been centered around the future of life at home. And never has the home become more important. So particularly post-pandemic, home has become so much more than just a place to live. It's now our office, it's our school, our restaurant, our gym, our cinema, and most importantly, home is our sanctuary. So our work is hugely varied. One minute, I may be working with the Scandi Kitchen Company in the Nordic region, forecasting design trends for 2025. This is where we'd be diving deep into color, material, and finish, getting very specific about things like frontals, handles, and worktop details. And the next minute, I might be working on a quarterly newsletter for a huge American retailer, helping to keep their workforce informed of the latest shifts in diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then the week after that, I might be working with a home accessories brand, helping them to understand the shifts in householder behaviour, which will impact how people are going to be cooking and dining at home. We work in the world of kitchens, bathrooms, sleep, toys, DIY and gardening, as well as gifting and celebration and food and drink. So it's a really broad remit, but it's held together by that focus on the home, how we interact with our families, how we relax, what we do for fun, and what product we surround ourselves with. So why forecast trends? You might be wondering why the world of trend forecasting is relevant to you and your business. We believe trend forecasting is an essential business critical activity because change happens all of the time. Change is happening all around us in the lives of our customers every day. Sometimes that change is really obvious, something like a national lockdown, for example, and sometimes it's more discreet, like a shift in birth rates, a shift in attitude, or a cultural movement bubbling up from the corners of the web. Under normal circumstances, brands have a pretty good understanding of the market they are trading in. And market research or customer focus groups can tell you how your audience thinks and feels. However, this data can quickly become outdated when new mindsets emerge or catalysts create new trading conditions or audiences to target. Trends help us to identify changing lifestyles, changing wants and needs, changing environments, so that we can create new customers, new technologies, and new business models. And it's not just about product. So the brands you see grabbing the headlines are those responding to trends right across their business model, from product innovation to marketing to their sustainability strategy. So how do we do it? The world of trend forecasting is often seen as a bit of a mysterious or secretive industry. So we wanted to chat a little bit more today about the methodology behind our trends and how we create forecasts and directions that help you understand the bigger picture and lead to actionable directions and ultimately successful product. So we start with what we call mega trends. And these are important, they're an important starting point because they influence so much. Topics that we explore here tend to span around 15 plus years. So these are major societal shifts and changes. Examples would be sustainability or equity for all, or more recently, the digital age. And then we explore macro trends. A macro trend is where you develop a more detailed forecast, and this can knit together influences from two or more mega trends. The reason we forecast macro trends at Trend Bible is that they tend to be so much more specific, more useful, and more tangible than those overarching mega trends, especially for those who are designing products, experiences, or marketing messages. So from a commercial point of view, we think of the macro report as our starting point in terms of the product cycle. Every year, we produce a macro report, working 2 years in advance, so we've just published our macro report for 2025. And this influences and sets the tone for the rest of our forecasts for the year. And from those macro trends, we then start to consider design details. How does the macro trend manifest itself into design and product development and by season? And what does it look like? What are the key materials and colors? So this comes in the form of our seasonal design trend forecasts, which detail color, surface, materials, and narrative. So today I'll be showing you some of the key themes or behaviors from both our 2024 macro report and one of our design forecasts. So you'll get a good understanding of how this works and how this methodology comes to life. This slide just shows how we translate our foresight framework into our products and services. So the trends that I'm going to present today are taken from a cross-section of 2024 reports from our macros, seasonal forecasts, and subscription reports. So as you can see on screen, I've highlighted four key behaviors here which are going to impact householders in 2024. We've got democratizing domesticity. I'm sure someone is trying to set me up with that tongue twister. The hybridized home, the rise of rental, and thinking circular. So starting with democratizing domesticity. The main drivers of this trend are the fact that families are becoming way less nuclear. We're seeing more diverse family setups. be that single-parent households or multi-generational living, the ongoing cost of living crisis, which will have an important impact on the evolving dynamics of households, accelerating the speed in which these shifts will occur. Consumers are reassessing their lifestyle like never before and are adjusting their living situation or accommodations to best suit their needs. Many people are living modern, migratory lives, moving around for work or travelling for pleasure. The pandemic not only diversified our use of our homes, it forced them to work in new capacities. Add a global humanitarian crisis into the mix, combined with a steep rise in cost of living, worldwide environmental concerns, an increase in mental health concerns and loneliness. And it's no wonder consumers are demanding more from their homes and require more flexible, cost-saving, and sustainable solutions to live life to the full. So how does the home need to adapt and evolve to meet the requirements of a new form of cohabiting? So let's take a look at some stats which are underpinning this trend. Household sizes are decreasing. So 3.3 people is the average household size in the USA today. Family dynamics are shifting. 23% of children in the US live in single-parent households. 17.8% of the United States, 130 million households, that's 23.1 million, have married parents with children under the age of 18. That's down over 40% since 1970 and is the least amount since 1959. Certain types of households are growing, such as childless households and multifamily households, and 38% of the world's population are living in extended family households. Our homes have come under immense pressure over the last couple of years, and they've had to become havens of calm, workspaces, refuges for those displaced. Homes and households have also become canvases for social experiments, as we no longer see the nuclear family as the common household inhabitants. Consumers are shunning these traditional family setups and creating living solutions that cater to their extended family, whether that be a new partner with children from a previous marriage, children living with them into adulthood, or the grandparents moving in. So let's now take a look at some new housing innovations. So three-generation house by Beta on the top left there. This multi-generational house built in Amsterdam was designed to house a young family who wanted to cohabit with extended family for growing childcare needs, while acknowledging the future demands of the home for aging family members who would soon require care. The build was designed around a central staircase with considered accessibility, incorporating private spaces alongside communal social areas. Designed by Cutwork Studio, this prototype for a pre-constructed modular studio unit resembles stacked Lego bricks, inspired by the Japanese washitsu concept of centralized, adaptive, and multi-purpose room found in Japanese homes. It provides a solution to the growing housing crisis. This quick and customizable block housing features foldaway beds, expanding kitchens, hidden storage, and modular furniture. And the bottom left image, as householders blend, divide, and break the standard mold, creating spaces which are unique to the inhabitants seem like a sustainable solution as well as a practical one. Unboxed Homes offers a unique new build solution where occupants can opt to take over the final stages of development to personalize it to suit their lifestyle. Alternatively, the homeowner can opt for a managed takeover whereby they choose the finishes and layout without the stress of becoming a project manager. So there's a great quote here about the need for increased flexibility in our homes today. The layout of homes prevents any flexibility with spaces dedicated to specific functions. Walls need to be broken down. Our homes need to be more adaptive. The future will see fewer dedicated rooms, but they will cater to a wider range of activities. So we've obviously seen a huge shift towards more hybrid or home working post-pandemic. So this next trend is about the hybridized home. And as householders make room for these home office setups, multifunctional products have seen a boom in popularity as consumers look for solutions to maximize the use of shrinking living spaces and incorporate better solutions for hybrid working. The demand for urban housing is looking set to increase while floor space isn't. It's important to note that this does vary depending on geography. More and more adults are opting to live with housemates and would-be empty nesters are sharing their homes with adult children for longer. Homes need to accommodate varying requirements and support boundaries more than ever. Multifunctional products and furniture can provide innovative and often space-saving solutions for productive living environments. So again, let's look at some figures here. Multifamily homes are on the rise, with 155 million of these expected in the US by 2023. Urbanization continues to rise sharply globally, with 60% of the world's population expected to be living in cities by 2030. Because of the rising cost of living, children are staying at home for longer. 58% of young adults in the US now live at home with their parents. $13.2 billion is the expected value of the global multifunctional furniture market by 2027. Homes are changing, and as rooms adapt from traditional use to maximize space, accommodate working from home setups, and multiple occupancy arrangements. With space sharing and boundaries shifting, multifunctional products can offer more to maintain healthy and happy environments. So enhanced ottomans, with less space or former guest rooms now converted into home offices and leisure hobby zones, other spaces are looked towards for greater multifunctionality as householders prioritise personal happiness and comfort over dedicated spaces for the occasional friend or family sleepovers. The loaf bed in a bun is a sophisticated solution, doubling up as an ottoman and a full-size double bed, a highly functional take on the traditional upholstered storage box disguised as a seat. Got dual function taps, so appliances that cover several jobs, save space, and can be more environmentally friendly. Products such as the Dyson Airblade wash and dry tap remove the need for a separate dryer or towels when washing hands. Instant boiling taps such as Kuka, Frankie, and CDA provide instant boiling water, reduce water waste, and can save up to 50% less energy than a standalone kettle, although the upfront investment cost is much higher. Combined with a roll under sink, wheelchair users can eradicate the need to reach for kettles on higher surfaces. And evolving furniture. IKEA and their design lab Space 10 have worked with creative studio IO to develop adaptable concept furniture. Products can be scanned with an app which generates an AI voice advising the owner as to what they can do to adapt its design in accordance with wear and tear. They can then visualize solutions in situ using augmented reality. Concepts include chair-bookshelf hybrids and shelving units incorporating children's desks and storage. So let's look at home office blended environments. Whilst more people than ever are working from home, many people have also returned to offices, either permanently or via a hybrid arrangement. Hybrid office spaces have had to readdress how they are best used to accommodate this new model. Spaces need to be flexible and future-proof to maintain productivity, promote collaboration on and offline, and preserve well-being in the event of future pandemics or seasonal viruses. Inspired by raised, tiered rows of benches found at sports fields or amphitheatres, staircases can be given dual functionality as a space to encourage informal gatherings, whether for work or rest, in open and often subsequently well-ventilated communal areas. The multifunctional enhances a sense of community and shared home environments, such as student accommodation, apart-stay hotels, and working environments evolve. Sunken pit-style configurations are also seeing a resurgence in home design to create room within a room spaces. With feelings of isolation exacerbated by a years-long pandemic and the omnipresent digital screens of work from home, many people view conversation pits as the ultimate symbol of intimacy and a step back towards a simpler time, helping to break up the open-plan living but still create a sense of continuity. Our next trend is the rise of rental. Although it's long been a marker of status and success, increasingly property ownership isn't everyone's goal. And for a growing number of people, the benefits of renting are now more attractive and are something to be embraced rather than endured. No longer relating to only students or young professionals, there is a whole new cohort who who are not only feeling the impact of the pandemic, but are increasingly finding it financially unachievable to buy a home. This has caused a shift in attitudes towards owner-occupied spaces. A recent report from Very Smart outlines that in the UK alone, renters are expected to outnumber their homeowning counterparts by 2039, as they reject the long-standing transition from renting to ownership and instead actively opt for rental. The freedom of renting appeals to people seeking more flexible living without being tied to one location or having the financial burden of a mortgage. Renters have the freedom to travel, easily relocate, and have financial freedom. However, importantly, renters still crave the ability to make their homes their own. So, rental at a glance. With an uncertain economy and shifting lifestyles, it's no longer considered simply a stepping stone towards home ownership for those under 30, as these new figures show. People in their 30s and 40s are three times more likely to rent than 20 years ago. 65% of American households in the under 35 age group are rented. These statistics present a trajectory towards a future in which more millennials and Gen Xers will be living in rental properties. As well as renting their properties, in seeking greater flexibility in their lifestyles, many households are renting possessions too. There's been a 46% increase in searches related to furniture rentals since July 2017. And the furniture rental industry is projected to grow by 6.8% between 2021 and 2031. So here we have some need-to-know personas in the rental market. The silver sharer. With record high property prices making it harder to buy and maintain homes, as well as lifestyle shifts such as an increase in later life divorce, the average renter is getting older. According to the latest English Housing Survey, the proportion of people aged between 55 and 64 years old who are renting in the private sector has doubled during the past decade. There's also been a significant increase in the number of renters aged between 45 and 54. The traditional cohabiting unit is also changing. With this older generation of renters embracing house chairs and intergenerational living, Nestful is a platform for over 50s looking for house shares and is an example of companies catering to this growing market demand. Then we have the deposit deserter. So as buying property becomes increasingly harder to achieve, many have become disillusioned with the cycle of saving and the hassle associated with home ownership, the costs of upkeep and property taxes. Instead, they are seeking longer-term rentals that allow them to enjoy lower utility bills, greater flexibility in where they live, and access to amenities such as a pool or a fitness room that might otherwise be prohibitively expensive. This freedom, of course, depends on the individual's lifestyle and financial situation, but there is a shift towards a rejection of the expectation to get on the property ladder. Then there's the digital nomad. So the digital nomads embrace a location-independent, technology-enabled lifestyle that allows them to travel and work anywhere in the internet-connected world. These consumers seek the freedom that comes without being committed to a single location or a job through a mortgage and focus on living life beyond four walls. For these consumers, extended residencies and flexible contracts appeal, allowing them to relocate and travel as they wish. With longer-term leasing a growth area for 2023 and beyond, how can your brand support this emerging sector and best leverage this opportunity? The focus will be on delivering solutions for long-term renters who are prioritizing personalization and semi-permanent style. So let's look at how this might play out in bathroom spaces. Dubbing themselves as the first home improvement brand for renters, Brooklyn-based Spruce create joyful and customizable shower heads designed with renters in mind. The kits are easy to install and damage-free and allow renters to elevate their shower system with add-ons such as an anti-fog mirror, phone holder, and shelves. The kit comes in three personalized combinations and in four colors, allowing renters to easily make their bathroom their own. And DIY statement tiling. As long-term renters look for ways to add semi-permanent colour and pattern to their bathrooms, UK-based Craft Tiles Peel and Stick Mosaics offer a solution that is fully customisable, easy to create and easy to remove. The self-adhesive hexagon, square, or penny tiles come in multiple colours, allowing renters to create their own design, which can be used to elevate rental bathroom floors, splashbacks, or to upcycle furniture. And wellness water. With the self-care movement continuing to impact the interiors market, renters search for ways to improve the wellness credentials of their homes. Jolie is an easy-to-install filtered showerhead that provides both clean water and strong pressure, allowing renters to alter the water conditions of their bathroom without complicated or permanent renovations. And then in the kitchen, we've got outdoors, indoors. So garden allows urban renters without their own garden to benefit from the joys of the outdoors from within their kitchen. The smart garden is designed for indoor use, allowing renters to grow their own produce and plants without the need for garden soil or sunlight. It also taps into a growing, sustainably conscious mindset, as people can grow their own food without using pesticides or single-use plastic packaging. And custom cabinets. Semi-handmade make custom cabinet doors that fit IKEA kitchen cabinets. Also, bathroom, media, and storage systems, allowing renters to semi-permanently amend the look of their kitchen from entire units to smaller hardware details. And as the kitchen increasingly becomes the central hub of the home, UK-based The Loft and Us offer a solution for renters to add colour and patterns to the kitchen without the need for paint, retiling, or wallpaper. The brand's vinyl is easy to apply and can be removed by simply peeling it off, giving renters the freedom to customise their kitchen walls and tiles. Let's look at the fast homeware problem. So the last 3 or 4 years has seen a rise of fast homeware, the term coined to define cheap and cheerful but often throwaway decor that reflects the ever-changing trends of social media-influenced fast fashion. Many fashion brands are looking to cash in on the growing homeware market, with several Gen Z and millennial-focused high street chains and e-tail platforms launching home-specific lines in the last 12 months. However, this is facing a backlash from certain consumer groups who place a precedence on a brand's eco-credentials and actively avoid products that have a detrimental environmental impact or are linked with throwaway culture and fast turnaround consumption. Instead, they are seeking alternative, more sustainable ways to personalise their spaces. Younger consumers have a different view on homewares than that of previous generations who would buy furniture for life. They are less willing to put up with the things they don't love, and their furniture and decor will reflect an ever-changing purpose of their homes. However, this constant shifting comes with a heavy environmental impact. Renting furniture emerges as an option that allows consumers to update and alter their homes without relying on fast, wasteful homewares and without having to commit to long-term something particularly relevant for renters who move around more often and can't predict whether items will fit into their next home. So there's a great quote on this slide which says, by its nature, private renting is unstable and unaffordable. This means that people who rent, A, move around a lot, and B, don't always have much cash to spare. The impulse to make your living space feel like home doesn't just disappear because you don't own that space. Renters want to feel that it reflects them, to make it feel as homely as possible and distract from the impermanence of their situation. This means that cheap and affordable homeware, which speaks to the current interior trends, is particularly appealing, because if you don't know where you'll be living next year, you don't know how much you can afford to spend on stuff that you might not even be able to fit into your next home. As a sense of community and sharing emerge as key values among consumers, alongside a necessity to make more sustainable choices, renting furniture and homewares becomes an innovative and savvy way for people to furnish their homes. The key benefits of renting furniture and homewares are that it's commitment-free, so being able to rent homewares taps into Generation Rent's preference for free, non-committal living led by the uncertainty of where they live next. You can try before they buy, so short or long-term renting allows consumers to try large and expensive purchases such as sofas or beds before they buy them. And temporary access. Renting gives homemakers access to temporary things such as extra chairs or Christmas decorations as and when they're needed, rather than having to store them in small properties or storage units. They can be bold, so the flexibility allows people to be bolder with style. They may choose to rent statement pieces, such as a brightly coloured sofa, for a temporary time, without the commitment of having that sofa forever. There's less waste, so with nearly a third of UK adults throwing away furniture, homewares and home electronics in great condition, the option to rent them out extends their lifestyle and avoids excessive and unnecessary waste. They can earn from home, so by working with these emerging rental companies, people can earn money by renting out their own furniture and homeware. This suits the nomad lifestyle. Let's take a look at some current homeware rental platforms. So Fat Llama, a UK rental marketplace, have partnered with department store and high street interior giant John Lewis, allowing customers to rent John Lewis furniture and home accessories instead of or before purchasing them. This scheme has continued after a successful initial trial period with 3, 6, and 12-month rental options, as well as the option to buy them the item after that period. All payments you make are deducted from the total cost, so customers never pay more than the retail price. And Feather is a US-based platform which aims to provide furniture that fits the way we live today, building an approach to furniture and interiors that focuses on rental, reuse, and refurbishment, is convenient and sustainable. As well as an established audience across the states, such as New York, California, and Texas, Feather has also expanded its reach beyond residential customers, partnering with co-working space provider WeWork to offer furnishings for the company's flexible workspaces. Shelf is a newly launched London-based interiors homeware and furnishing rental platform and app. Its aim is to help first-time buyers and renters decorate their spaces with less environmental impact, as well as catering to consumers' demand for flexibility. Not everyone can afford to change their decor all of the time. And if people are mobile, they don't need to buy something for just a certain period of time. They can rent it instead and still find those great prices, says their founder, Julia Anduiza. So just some thought starters here for the rise of rental. Create products with renters in mind. As the market shifts, see people live in rented homes for longer, tap into the opportunity that this presents. Consider the installation of home improvement products, making sure that they are equally easy to install and to remove, allowing renters to make semi-permanent upgrades to their homes. In marketing, design, and packaging, echo a joyful visual language with playful graphic manuals and instructions that bring an element of fun to upgrading rental spaces. Explore the opportunity posed by the new, older generation of renters. Brands have the potential to tap into this new market of renters and their evolving needs. Think long term and consider how an older generation of renters will use rental space differently. Think integrated tech, sustainable solutions, and clever design for healthy living. Offer personalization and customizable options as renters seek to make rented spaces their own. Allow consumers to choose from different colorways and designs. Create build-your-own kits and offer a range of add-ons, making it easy for the consumer to get exactly what they want. Empower renters by giving them the power to make decisions over their living space. Appeal to sustainably minded consumers, educating and explaining the environmental benefit of renting over buying. Hit them with statistics around just how many homewares are poured into landfill each year and help them understand the positive impact they can make through renting their stuff. Next, we're going to look at circular thinking. So the intensifying ecological crisis and harsh realities of the global COVID pandemic, as well as extreme weather conditions, are becoming increasingly harder to ignore. For consumers, 2024 will mark a dramatic shift as understanding of resources and sustainability has matured. By 2024, we mustn't just be kinder to nature. We must live, operate, and make decisions that are inherently grounded in nature. Circular and design thinking is at the forefront of reimagining how a return to seasonality, natural life cycles, biological behaviours, and architectures of ecology can rewrite the rules for what we eat and when, what materials we bring into our homes, where we live, and our access to products. This shift will be our biggest yet in tackling climate change. In a world of lacking trust in governments, media, and other institutions, businesses and brands must educate and inspire customers on a radical new journey back into nature's never-ending circular plan. Consumers will look beyond just being sustainable, and instead we'll be thinking about how we can move to towards a more regenerative future. Circular thinking is about putting a spotlight on waste and how we can reframe it as a useful resource, putting it back into the product cycle. As biomaterials will be a huge focus here, scientists and designers and researchers are looking to how the natural world can create safer materials from plants and minerals that we have in abundance. How can we make better use of these previously overlooked resources? The EPA estimates that 9 million tons of furniture ends up in landfill every year. That's 5% of all landfill waste. 87% of American shoppers are concerned about plastic and packaging waste. 16% of soils across the world are estimated to have a remaining lifespan of 100 years or less, meaning that the biodiversity and the nutrients inside those soils are dying out. Soon, they will be unsuitable for growing and sustaining life. This is due to over-farming, industrial farming methods, and urban development. And food waste is a big problem. In fact, 1/3 of all food produced in the world for human consumption never reaches the consumer's table. 8% of greenhouse gas emissions are generated by global food waste, which is almost as much as is generated from all of the cars in the world. So let's explore this concept of regenerative design. It's no longer enough to be sustainable, now we must be regenerative. This is the movement sweeping across design disciplines to completely overhaul the way we perceive, build, and create. Regenerative design aims to work with nature, benefiting both the environment and the beings that live within it. It's about working as a whole with our greater ecology and society surroundings to give rather than just take from the land. Regenerative agriculture offers solutions to help reverse climate change by restoring the health of degraded soils. Methods are employed to help increase the organic matter in soil, such as no-till farming, cover cropping, crop rotation, and grazing for ecological resilience. Some of these practices help to reduce erosion and water pollution, in turn producing healthier soils. 1% for the Planet Programme is a global movement inspiring businesses and individuals to support environmental solutions. The idea is simple. Because companies profit from the resources they take from the earth, they should protect those resources. The organization was founded to prevent greenwashing, certify reputable giving, and provide accountability. The idea is that you can always give more, but you should never give less than 1%. And Kering, the international fashion group who own the likes of Gucci, Balenciaga, and Alexander McQueen, have teamed up with Conservation International and launched the Regenerative Fund for Nature, with the aim of transforming 1 million hectares of crop and rangelands into regenerative agricultural spaces over the next 5 years. They say that in practice, regenerative agriculture combines indigenous and traditional approaches to farming and land stewardship with modern management methods to sequester carbon, mitigate climate change, and protect wildlife. Practices include rotating crops, carrying out little or no tillage, eliminating synthetic chemicals, and integrating crops with managed grazing systems. In addition, regenerative agriculture ensures high standards for animal welfare. Another key part of this macro trend is the celebration of waste. Circular processes are putting the spotlight on waste by pioneering new ways to extract materials for reuse, experimenting with modern techniques to mimic materials we commonly use that are under threat, and beautifying used materials to elevate waste. The result is desirable and unique goods with less impact on the planet, and a life cycle that has been thought out and accounted for. The emphasis on biomaterials in particular is booming, with consumers demanding natural, circular, non-toxic, and conscious composite materials that go on and on and on. Over the next few years, expect to see biomaterials and innovative uses of waste dominate material innovation across the industry. These vital new processes will even trickle down to mass market brands and retailers, as both consumers and manufacturing standards demand approaches that go beyond sustainability. So we've got some great examples on screen here. Toto Moxtel is the new veneer material made with the husks of heirloom Mexican corn, ranging from deep purples to soft creams. Toto Moxtel showcases the wealth of diversity of the native corns of Mexico, which are naturally colourful and are essential for the rich gastronomy of the country. But this project goes far beyond simply aesthetics. This material focuses on regenerating traditional agricultural practices in Mexico and creating a new craft that generates income for impoverished farmers and promotes the preservation of biodiversity for future food security. And in the middle there, researchers are looking into mycology, which is the study of fungi, to harness the fantastic properties of mushrooms and turn organic waste into biodegradable packaging solutions. Fungi Solutions, a biotech research facility in Australia, has created an organic packaging alternative to polystyrene made from reishi mycelium. Vine is a range of homeware designed by Yves Beher in partnership with Forust. Using reclaimed wood waste, hailed as the first of its kind, sawdust waste is combined with a natural tree sap binder and 3D printed into swirling structures. The printing process replicates the different layers of wood grain, as well as boosted strength to a level of conventional timber. And as Lucas Demann from Biobased Creations says, biomaterials are going from trend to reality. It's going to be the fourth economic revolution. So here we look at waste furniture and textiles. Tapping into two key consumer demands for furniture, sustainability and modularity, Atelier Ferrero's 1.5 Celsius lounge chair turns furniture production waste, such as particle boards, into an adaptable, modular design that can be used in multiple configurations, such as a children's chair, a coffee table, or expanded into a chaise longue. As brands look to create products out of excess textile waste, Italian brand Paolo Lenti and Brazil's Estúdio Campana have collaborated to create a collection of playful seating and soft furnishings which are made from waste pieces of carpet or textiles. Titled Metamorphosi, the collection draws inspiration of the colours and forms of the natural world. And 3D printed production waste. Rotterdam-based studio The New Raw are tackling their own sustainability and eco-responsibilities as producers, creating a range of seating by recycling misprints and prototypes from previous production. The waste and excess materials are shredded and then 3D printed to create the seating products. And since the final product is made from plastic that has already been recycled, this creates what the studio describes as an infinite loop of plastic waste. And finally, looking at food waste. Product design which utilizes food waste and converts it into a raw material for manufacturing is solving multiple problems. It's reducing waste that goes into landfill, cutting greenhouse gas emissions, and creating innovative new materials at the same time. Some of the world's leading materialists and designers are currently experimenting with products and materials, and we've given some great examples here. So Great Wrap is an alternative to cling film made from waste potato skins. This revolutionary stretch wrap was designed by a team of biodesigners, engineers, and scientists in Australia. It's the first 100% compostable stretch wrap, and it performs as well as conventional plastic film, but will break down in 180 days. Priestman Good Zero Takeaway Packaging Concept shows how bioplastics can be made from byproducts from the chocolate production industry, and they've turned these into stylish bento boxes. Neymar Bio-Waste Box is a stylized countertop composting solution made from wood waste composite. Products which encourage the recycling of food waste will become increasingly important in the home, and we like how the aesthetic of this one really pushes the idea of recycled materials. And then Studio ARP, this British design studio, are currently exploring the possibilities of recycling waste orange peel and turning it into fabric or pulp for innovative home goods like lighting and desk accessories. So they collect the discarded orange skins from local juicer or smoothie bars and process it in their studio. And looking at deco and accessories, Pearson Lloyd's collaboration with 3D manufacturing studio Batchworks is a collection of home office accessories such as pen pots, boxes, and trays that are both recycled and recyclable. Products are 3D printed from recycled polylactic acid sourced from food packaging waste. And then we have dyes made from waste. So commercial textile dyeing causes a huge amount of damage to the environment due to the chemicals used in the process. Yet natural dyeing is rarely employed on an industrial scale. Ignorance is Bliss is a brand of home products designed by Agne Kusurenakete. Since 2016, Agne has been experimenting with upcycled textile dyes that originate from botanical, metal waste, and byproducts. Agne's main goals are to recover the value of currently valueless industrial waste and turn it into a functional and scalable way, and to challenge the current colour manufacturing industry. So her latest rug, Juno, pictured in the middle, uses 7.63 kilograms of waste to dye the fibres. Circular design studio Good Waste have created a range of home accessories, including lamps, candles, and vases made from London department store Selfridges waste materials from its shop displays. The Super Circular Department Store project aimed to reimagine waste materials as a valuable local resource by exploring how department stores could create marketable stock from their own refuse. Then let's look at some thought starters for this trend. With consumers increasingly conscious of reuse and regeneration, what steps can you take to map the end-life journey of the products you sell? Emphasis is now on the impact of products pre-production as well as post-production, shining a spotlight on value and supply chains. How can you offer consumers more transparency? Clever, resourceful design that is reflective of the ecology it comes from is heightening a shift to localization. How will you take consumers on a journey to see new values and spark behavior change, willing to try new product propositions? Interdisciplinary approaches that are at the heart of the natural movement. What partnerships can you make to enrich your collaboration, insights, and potential in order to return to natural processes and systems? So that was a real deep dive into some of the macro topics covered on our subscription platform. And we are adding to and building on these all of the time with constant new reports released each week for subscribers. Now we're going to take a look at how that final macro trend, circular thinking, filters down into one of our design trends for autumn-winter 23-24 season. In our biannual design forecast, there's usually four design trends per season, and today we're going to look at one of those trends, Ecopolis. So Ecopolis is all about being resourceful, urban and holistic, a survivalist mentality. We're looking at reclaimed materials and resources, an organic yet slick aesthetic that's both bold and crafted. Ecopolis offers modern solutions for biophile, style-savvy citizens. Bold, slick, and eco-conscious design takes a fresh, holistic approach, from embracing the irregular, unique aesthetic of salvaged materials derived from industrial waste to the rise of urban-grown ingredients. So what's driving this Ecopolis trend? There's a heightened awareness of the negative implications on our well-being caused by inadequate and unequal access to quality green spaces. This sparks a resurgence of human-centered urban planning. People are now demanding an intersectional approach that includes everyone in the debate to optimize our environment, helping to create inclusive solutions and helping the process of democratizing nature for people of all colors with various abilities and of all ages and identities. As we explored in the macro trends, within the home, householders look to the future of bio-based and recycled products to take on a more holistic approach to sustainability. Brands are increasingly held accountable as a growing number of consumers expect full transparency and circular thinking as standard. There's a shift in understanding and demand for responsible design as conversations around creating a circular economy replaces the previous passive demand for sustainability. So here is the mood board for Ecopolis. So we can see that this trend visually comes to life here. This modern biophilic mood offers a refreshed take on what sustainable or natural-led design looks like. This bold and slick aesthetic speaks to a new type of customer. So we see consumers embracing and celebrating the irregular aesthetic of salvaged materials derived from waste, as well as a refreshed eco-aesthetic that is tactile, colorful, and urban. Homemakers, by autumn-winter 23-24, will be really ready to cherish unstandardized color and finishes and will appreciate not finding the same result in every product. There's a real move away from perfection. A mix of undyed materials and vibrant hyperpigmented natural pops keeps the overall look fresh and optimistic. So our design trend forecasts always feature a palette of eight trend colours, which are matched to the Pantone TCX and also the Coated Library. For Ecopolis, this is a bold, refreshed eco colour palette. Dazzling blue, beet red, and a lively dash of chartreuse shake up the more tonal, natural tones like caramel brown, soft green grey, terracotta pink, brick red, and forest green. And the understanding of eco-conscious design becomes more holistic. We see bold, unusual combinations and hyper-pigmented, artificial-looking nuances continue to grow in importance. Our home and interior forecasts also include a collection of copyright-free prints designed by illustrators and graphic designers to work for and inspire print, pattern, and typography in this trend. And let's look to one of the micro-trends included in the forecast. So this is focused on salvaged materials. Again, with a focus on post-consumer waste, designers look at how they can help to solve this environmental challenge. Discarded materials are given a new life by repurposing them, featuring finishes that are purposefully irregular and are post-perfect. Household and industrial waste are used to create innovative and bold designs across product and furniture design, from food waste to plastics, reclaimed glass, and recycled textile fibres. Designers and brands are embracing how they can reclaim these materials for this really fun, playful material shift. Another of the microtrends focuses on the emergence of vibrant colour and sustainable dyes. Again, as eco-design moves from that very neutral, heavy aesthetic, consumers and designers are embracing and experimenting with using nature to colour product and realising that actually strong, vibrant colour can be achieved using natural dyeing methods. It doesn't have to be just the beiges, and the greens, the undyed fabrics or the super soft colours. There is a move towards using floral or vegetable dyes, a natural alternative to synthetic colours for use on textiles and even wood. We're also tracking the emergence of pigments derived from industrial waste or even bacteria, which grow by grow colour by fermentation processes, as the world's science and sustainable design work together. So looking at some of the key product categories across home and interiors and how Ecopolis will apply to those products. As we've touched on, furniture for this trend explores a shift towards biophilic design, as furniture is one of the key areas where we see brands and designers are taking an increasingly regenerative approach to material and construction. Silhouettes are softly curved and welcoming, while colourful and bold salvage materials bring surface interest to products such as tables and stools. For home accessories, the trend gets really playful with that move towards a post-perfect aesthetic where embracing the unique and imperfect takes priority. Decorative home accessories such as vases, candles and other ornaments will continue to be a key product category as consumers look for cheaper, playful ways to bring newness into their homes and spaces. So brands and designers should embrace this new eco-aesthetic with irregular textures, playful colour application and enhanced tactility. Textiles are heavily tufted and feature irregular edges, bringing this modern organic aesthetic to upholstery, cushions, throws, and home textiles. Again, add a playful new eco-aesthetic to cook and dine product, bringing contrast to natural eco-materials with pops of bold accent colour. As this trend celebrates unstandardised finishes and organic forms, play with irregular and naturally occurring textures, bringing eco-led tactility to cook and dine. For surface pattern across crockery, glassware and ceramics, look to energetic and colourful splattered qualities and abstract organic shapes. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our Ecopolis, our autumn winter 23-24 trend. And you can see from those previews just how those bigger topics explored in our macro trends can lead into and trickle down in a more specific design forecast. So if that's whet your appetite a little bit and you want to know more about how we can help your business with either macro trends or design insights or both, then my colleague Mark Foster and I will be here for the show. We're offering short free trend consultations. We're based in the North Building at the back of the hall at the International Business Centre. We have a booth there if you want to come and book a spot to chat to us about anything at all. Might be that you want to, you know, just chat about some problems or issues that you have in your company, or you maybe want a sneak preview of some of next season's design trends. I'm sure Mark can arrange that. So yeah, just give us a shout if you'd like to discuss that. And that brings me to the end of today's presentation. Before you go, I really hope you've enjoyed today's insight into what we do. But I would like to offer you a little freebie here as a takeaway and a thank you for attending this talk today. So you might have noticed on the way in, there are some Trend Bible business cards on the table on the side there. They have a QR code on them, which you can scan, and that will take you, shortcut you straight to our website where you can register for access to our My Trend Bible platform. It's a free platform to access, and there's a free download there which features the Acropolis trend in a little greater detail. Or alternatively, you can take a quick photo of the slide on screen now with instructions on how to find it on the website. And finally, if there's anything else you can, I can help with, if anyone has any questions now, I'm very willing to answer them, or if you prefer to come over and chat to us privately, then please do. We'll be here for a little while. So thank you, everyone.
I'm sorry. Thank you, first of all. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you.
I'll actually start because I am curious about something. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is really interesting, and there's other trends and other market research I've seen that are pushing and indicating that direction. But being a couple of years out and trying to arrive at kind of some of these, to deal with some of these trends, what from the presentation, what are the key things to think about if you want to start on that journey? And, you know, what are the things where you should, what are the factors where that you should be acting on immediately?
I think it's sometimes very specific to your business. So it very much depends on where your business sits on the pyramid of influence. We have, this is one of our methodologies that we talk about a lot. And at the top of the pyramid, you have the maven brands, and then you have, you know, early adopters, and then early majority, and then you have late majority. So you need to, first of all, figure out where your customer sits on that pyramid of influence, and that will help you determine how far ahead you should be looking and planning, and really which trends you respond to really depend on your brand DNA, and that's something we can really help you with in our consultancy arm of the business. We can really overlay your own brand's story and your brand's identity with trend and make sure that you are only responding to the trends that are relevant for you and are going to have longevity for your business. That answers that question.
Anyone else? Well, thank you once again, and thank everybody for attending.
Thanks a lot.